Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you gonna get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball. I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water bad jacket. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
This is 11 Personnel, and folks, let me start by saying two things. One, we can't do any more Monday episodes like it. Too much stuff happens on Monday and Tuesday. We got to wait till Wednesday.
No, it creates a long wait time before the next podcast.
Well, and just a lot of stuff seems to happen on Wednesdays. Two, 9 o'clock basketball games can go to hell in a handbasket. And to make sure I brought enough juice, I tried some different juice. Have you ever had what they call espresso? Excuse me. Espresso.
You had a little too much espresso.
I've never had it before. This is my first time.
I've had like a shot of it before.
See, that's what I got, a shot. Yeah. Just like, take a shot. I drank too much coffee today, but it was like, you know what? I could use a little extra sauce. Let's do this thing. So, boom. I might get a little excited today. I might be all over the place. But the good thing is, we got plenty to talk about.
Yes, we do. A lot has happened.
Yeah, we got Vince Merrow, we got Mike Stoops, we got Terry Touchdown, Dad Strength.
We got spring game announcement.
Oh, we got S&P Plus rankings.
We got S&P Plus, FPI, you all interviewing blue chippers.
Oh, yeah, just the whole nine yards. So let's work our way backwards, shall we? Let's go with the most recent news, kind of go back. We'll keep things, I guess, kind of pressing. But first things first. Spring game's on a Saturday at noon. It's a nooner.
Not a fan.
I hate it. Not so much. Especially because it's Easter weekend and...
It's Keeneland Saturday.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's going to be a beautiful
Master
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. Just absolutely awful on all accounts. And it's also not even on the regular SEC networks. So I don't know.
I'm wondering who they put on that Friday night. Maybe it's like Leach or Kiffin.
Yeah.
Someone they could sell more.
Yeah. But hell, I'd rather do SEC Network Plus on a Friday night than go Saturday.
Yeah, it's a weird time. I wonder if they will maybe wanted to do it that way. Maybe it's easier to get kids on campus being a Saturday rather than a Friday night.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like where you can, and you can spend, you know, time before and after the game,
right,
with them. It can be more of a kind of recruiting visit than whatever it was previously, because. I mean, just saying, how long is the trip from Cleveland to Kentucky to Lexington? Probably 5-6 hours?
Yeah, I'd say right around 5 hours.
Yeah, you aren't going to be able to get – if you get out of school at 3, you're not getting to the spring game,
right,
on Friday. So, in that case, it makes sense.
Yeah, so for kids within, I guess, the 5-hour radius of Lexington can get there on Saturday and stay and then get home that night without really stretching it too much.
Yeah, yeah. And you could probably, you know, John Summerall, he's doing work kind of more in the south where it's, like I said, that 6-hour range. So, okay, so selfishly, don't like it because for all of the reasons above, Keen on Saturday, Master Saturday, just a lot happening for a nooner. And
I thought it'd be a spring game that they were probably going to get a pretty good crowd, especially if it was a Friday night thing again.
Yeah, but.
Because they've got a lot of momentum right now.
Right. Oh, and well, and especially just from grabbing headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, football is burning and turning right now, while the basketball team is climb into the top of the SEC basketball standings. Just like, look at us.
Yeah.
We're a top 10 team in football.
Yeah, football's taken up a lot of oxygen this offseason, for sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of disappointing that they're not going to get the full glow up, if you will. I think that's also Bluegrass Steak Saturday, too.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I know it's one of those Saturdays.
Here, we'll ask. I know he does.
We'll ask our horse racing expert.
Yeah, we'll ask some horse racing. Is Bluegrass Stakes April 11th?
12th.
Or 12th? Is it the second Saturday of Keeneland, or is it the first? They move it up.
Second Saturday.
So it's Bluegrass Stakes Day.
Yeah, so like Keeneland's going to be packed right during the middle of spring ball. I don't like the spring game move. But they even moved up spring practices to earlier than I thought. Thanks, Dad. Yeah, he still can't pick any winners, though, so it doesn't matter. He just keeps picking losers. To be fair, we both had the horse in the last race. I got caught in the last furlong. It was brutal.
We're building momentum.
Yeah.
Up till Derby Day.
Yeah, we're getting momentum, and we're saving all the good hits.
Like a big locomotive, just got to get some steam built up.
If I would have had to hit that last rip, horse was 8-1. Man, that would have been a big $80 pickup. I would have been top 10 in my Derby League. Like it. Now it's in there like 18th.
And now we have Roush's officially Derby Fantasy.
Oh, it's
update. Weekly update.
It's Derby season, folks. It is Derby season. But to go back to football, because like I said, I'm bouncing all over the place. I remember the last time they had, like when they moved this stuff around, because I saw the they're going to have actually 2 weeks of practice for spring break. It used to be just one. And they would get the kind of boring practices where you got to go helmets
right
first. They would get those out of the way because, folks, you don't do anything in those days. It's boring. It's annoying. And really, it's only work. Like, it's basically glorified conditioning with coaches.
Well, for those days, the biggest thing is teaching the young guys or new guys how they practice.
Yeah, exactly. You're going through all the drills. There's 11, 12 of them, which, hell, we had it. I can't even get to all those interviews we did. We interviewed 12 of them. And mm-hmm. I can't even get to them. And technically 10 because Drew Phillips and McLean were sick, and I didn't get to our boy Maitland. I spent too much time.
I didn't see anybody get to him. I don't think.
I spent too much time talking to Sam and Ellie. So
that was a long convo.
Yeah, but you know, the last thing I want to say about the
spring game, he likes to talk, don't he?
Oh, he does. But I remember the last time they had spring game, and it was Easter weekend, and it wasn't a good turnout. It was like the first kind of down turnout for a spring game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a lot of people, and even the Road Dogs. My Road Dogs, DJ, Sturdy Dan, there's a lot of dudes out there who they go to every game, but they were planning on that Friday because they were going on a weekend trip. Because it's Easter, people travel, they're going to go see family. If you know, I wasn't lugging a newborn around, we'd be going up to Ohio probably. See the family. So I know a lot of people do things that weekend, and this is just going to fall down the pecking order, and it kind of stinks.
It does.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah, Sam and Nelly. That guy was fun to talk to. A lot of fun.
So a Nigerian hooper.
I didn't realize, too, that he only moved over here 3 years ago. I knew it was pretty recent, but, like, essentially he came over, played one thing of football, and they were like, oh, God, this guy's got to play football. And the way he tells it, too, it's really funny. He was like, it's a romantic story. It was love at first sight, which I love, too, that even though he was pretty low-key throughout the entire recruiting process, he's great. He's a great talker. Really enjoyed hearing from him. And along him and Khalil Branham, the way that they both – you're like, the easy soft toss story, like it, and all of these, for as long as I've been doing this, what's the biggest change in your life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because
Derek Jackson, I got to write more papers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you get some fun answers, because here's the thing. We did the same thing in college, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, gosh, like, I can do whatever the hell I want, and you just life changes. It changes for everybody once you go to college, especially if you're still supposed to be in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing those kids typically just be like, oh, man, this is crazy. For their sake, they were like, no, this was – we've been kind of preparing for this. And in Cleo Branham's case, he's like, it's kind of nice. I got all this free time now.
Yeah. To me, those two guys in general, they're just different kind of kids.
Yeah.
Like, Anelli, obviously, because of the background he comes from, moves to the States to really play, I guess, play one sport and then transfers to another sport pretty much.
Yep.
And then kind of blows up. down there in Deerfield Beach, and then moves high school for whatever reason. I don't know if sure we found out that reason or not, but it becomes like this blue chip prospect. And then Khalil Branham is just this, by all accounts, just nose to the grindstone, all business kind of player and kind of kid. I mean, of course, we've seen it with his Twitter.
Yeah.
All these workout videos he puts up, and everything's about, you know, working hard and all that stuff. So they're, you know, they're two different kids. So those two guys in general, that's the kind of guys you think you're going to get in the spring.
Right.
Guys that want to enroll early, want to get a head start, and really want to get down and get their hands dirty and start working. And I think for both of those guys, that's kind of what we heard from them, is that they're ready to get started, ready to buckle it up and go play some football.
Well, in Khalil Branham's case, not only was he like, hey, this is kind of nice having all this free time, but he also was – it was almost like he just had new luxuries now. One of them was, hey, I don't have to, like, go outside and set up all this elaborate stuff to catch passes. Like, I just walk out of it, and it's there. You know?
Like he said, he had to use the jugs machine. Like, he had a jugs machine in his backyard because he didn't have a player on his team that could really throw the ball to him.
Yeah. And if he wants to use the jugs machine now, he doesn't have to, like – he would, like, hide behind a tree. Remember those where he's, like, coming from outside of a tree or he'd hang a sheet up to try to, like, make it more difficult or interesting? He's got all that stuff just out there waiting for him to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then on top of that, he also, which I felt genuinely bad for him, Luckett, when I asked him, what's it like to work with these quarterbacks now? And he's like, well, I really didn't have a quarterback in high school.
Right.
It's like, dude, you poor guy. Like, it was just.
He played quarterback.
Yeah. And he also even mentioned, too, he was like, well, it's kind of cool knowing, like, if they can, if we're in a pinch, they're willing to play Lynn, maybe they'll play me.
Right. And another thing in the interview, Bo Allen kind of comes off as this soft-spoken kind of kid, but I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be able to command a huddle or command a room. He's got a deeper voice than I thought he had. Did.
Yeah, he's like a normal kid who's taking time getting used to speaking in front of camera.
Right.
He's a lot better than what he was when I first saw him. I think he went on like Hey Kentucky once, and it was like, is this kid got the the gusto, the bravado?
Right.
But really, he was just adjusting to speaking.
Yeah, I mean, he has some. I think he has some of that leadership it factor that you obviously wanted a quarterback, mm-hmm. I think that came off just in that interview I saw y'all had with him.
Joey Gatewood, he's already programmed. Auburn got a hold of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's...
He's been through media training before.
Yeah, and he went through an Auburn quarterback competition against a legacy recruit. So he knows, like, how to not step on toes or say anything, you know.
He stays politically correct.
Yeah, yeah. The one I thought was kind of cool, too, when Derek Jackson was, like, the kind of gratitude he had and just being able to be there early, that was kind of... neat to see and neat to hear.
Right.
Just from a, like, kind of like a, hey, Mom, I made it.
And with De'Eric Jackson and Joel Williams, two things I took away is the way they talk matches their film. Joel Williams talks with the swagger and bravado and that I'm the best guy in the room. And then when you watch him on film, he plays with swagger, he plays with bravado, he plays with I'm the best guy on the field. De'Eric Jackson's, you know, like, humble, soft-spoken, but when you ask him about it, he's like, you know, pretty much, I like hitting people. And when you turn on the film,
man,
he's not talking smack, but he's going around, he's knocking people's blocks off. So for that's one thing that really, I think who they are in front of the camera match what I see when they have pads on too, in the limited amount I've seen them.
Dear Jackson, that is the thickest Georgia accent.
Oh yeah, I love it.
It is. I grew up in the pines, whooping ass and taking names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Then admitted, you know, he was a big Georgia fan growing up.
Yeah, and he wasn't, like, talking trash, mm-hmm. but he was like,
you could tell.
I want to play him.
Yeah, you could tell.
Ox is an ox, which I think the most startling revelation is that his parents named the brothers Xavius and Octavius, which are straight-up Marvel bad guys. You know, you got Doc Ock, and then... Dr. Xavier, you know, like, Dr. Xavius. They have that kind of thing going for them. But I think it's pretty, not telling, but what he does this spring. You know, everybody obviously is going to have their eyes on Justin Rogers, but dude, if you beat him there, Like, it's going to make Rodgers work if he wants to be the freshman that gets playing time.
And then we heard when Ox signed, just like how much people cared for him at his high school.
Mm-hmm.
From coaches to teammates to students to teachers.
Yeah.
At his announcement, the whole school was there. So he's kind of got this big personality, it seems like. And he's the guy that people love to follow. So when you look at stuff like that, that's a guy you think could have potentially grown into a leader on the football mm-hmm. team.
And wouldn't be a bad thing if some of his old teammates followed him to Kentucky.
That too.
Yes.
For sure.
So
Lavelle Wright, most notably.
Yes. And which leads us to a conversation had with Jagger Burton yesterday. Freddie and I hung out with him for about 45 minutes. If you haven't listened to that conversation yet on the KSR Football podcast feed, obviously go check it out. But you know, Jagger said Lavelle Wright, Dekel Crowdis, all those guys from in the state. They've taken multiple visits together to Kentucky. And Jagger said, you know, he talks to those guys pretty regular, especially John Young and Bo Allen, who are roommates. And whenever he goes to campus, that's typically who he hangs out with. Which, if you... John Young, pretty good recruiter, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I think he's got a track record.
He's a good talker.
Yeah. He's a very good talker. Like, he's going to steal our jobs. Without a doubt. But John Young, also one of those guys who... big-time talent at his spot. Can play multiple positions, and can pretty much, you know, talk to a wall if you wanted to. Jagger's the same way, real open. It was fun interviewing the kid too, because like, I mean, if we're being honest, like a lot of these guys when they're like we said with Bo, you're 17 years old and you're just getting bombarded with media stuff. It's a little intimidating,
right?
But Jagger, you know, he just rolls the punches and he's kind of like, you know, this is cool, like. Going to watch games at...
Did y'all do it at the bar or in the studio?
We did it in the office. Upstairs, yeah. Pre-game show is about ready to start.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But, yeah, and he's just a... I don't know, a regular dude, but... The part that really dated me was when he said that he grew up watching Randall Cobb. And it's like, oh, so like when I was getting ready to go to college. Or when I was in college. I was a freshman at South Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, ooh... A, you're old, Nick. And then B, I think from just being the guy in the room, my understanding is that his parent, like he's got a good group of folks around him who are making sure that he makes the best decision for himself and that this is a decision not just with his heart and his gut, but also with his brain that will maximize his talents and make him a millionaire in the NFL one day. And I think that's a good thing to have. And he kind of let it be known, like, hey, he wasn't out there saying, I love Kentucky and everything about Kentucky. But, you know, he grew up cheering for UK. John Sharman was the guy who convinced him to be on offensive line. And when Kentucky was the first school to offer him, you know, he kind of teared up.
And Drake Jackson's teaching him how to snap, he said.
Yeah, like, they've developed a kind of family atmosphere with Jagger that's going to be tough to beat. It just is. And that's...
One thing I took away from the interview, and me myself being 30 years old, I went to high school with kids that were like this. Because of their damn uniforms, these kids grow up liking Oregon. and then they go there, like he talked about, and the facility is just remarkable, all this Nike money. And we're starting to see... them do this now with Cristobal. They're doing this national recruiting, but they're really focusing on the South. And they have a really strong recruiting pool, but it's because of those damn uniforms. I mean, they've had them for, you know, like you said, he talked about the Frost uniforms they have, like the gray and the white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you brought up, you know, the old school duck with the old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the ones they wore, I believe, against Florida State in the college football playoff a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and... So, Chip Kelly was there, what? Oh.
We'll look at, like...
I was going to say, because...
09 to 12, I want to say.
And that was Mariota, correct? So, that would have been when he was 10 years old?
It was Mariota's second year was when they went to the playoff with Helfrich. Or Mariota's senior year, because Mariota played 2 years for Chip.
Okay.
he was there 09 to 12, like I said.
So, yeah, I mean, 2010, he's a 7-8-year-old kid.
Right.
Watching the Rose Bowl.
I just think
ooh.
But this is not just his generation. I think, because of me, I'm 13 years old, and it's still, I just think that's crazy that it's still happening.
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, yeah, looking at, like, facility tours on YouTube. That's
right.
A thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know it is.
That is absolutely crazy. But that is, go listen to that interview. It was interesting.
But yeah, if you listen to that interview, and if you want to pick the spots where you think Kentucky sounds good, you can find them in there for sure.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's going to have a strong pull, but they're going up against the best of the best in this recruitment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You look at Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State,
and Oregon.
In Oregon.
So, yeah.
And then there's, what was the fifth?
That's it. Kentucky's.
Kentucky, fifth. Okay. Yeah, my bad. Visitor. So, yeah.
I think Penn State was the top seven, but, you know, you kind of.
I don't think they're probably going to get an official visit, which probably knocks them out.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's just, I think it would also be weird how the calendar's changed just since Walker Parks was getting recruited, his teammate. You know, and his friend who, they came to. They left from other schools and went to Douglas for its first year.
Well, and Kentucky gets the sell, but their offensive line just did last year, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're going to get a guy drafted. They have a first-team All-SEC center coming back. They should have a first-team preseason All-SEC right tackle. Left tackle should be second or third team.
Yeah.
The right or the regard, Luke Fortner's a senior. I think he's got a chance to get drafted.
Freddie brought it up. So are we going to have to get four new offensive linemen in 2021? I mean, because it'll be Drake and Landon are seniors. Kennard's probably going to go with pros.
Yeah.
If things go according to pros.
Right now, what you're looking at is you can hope, you know, you've had Nasir Watkins essentially be kind of your seventh starter the last few years.
Yeah.
So he should be a seamless step in. And then after that, though, you know, you've got to think John Young's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
Jagger Burden's going to have a chance.
Yeah,
to play
if he
big snaps as a true freshman.
There. Yeah,
especially saying he's going to enroll early. But yeah, I mean they're going to be really big time retooling in 2021. So enjoy 2020.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, because as much as you know, you can dream big with skills players and
right.
Joey Gatewood. Yeah, you got to rebuild the big blue wall.
And that's why I've said with John Young to watch out for him because they're going to need him in 21. So they might just throw him in the fire this year. To see what they can get, and then finding that other guard spot is big because they need that guy going into 21 to be a really big part of their offensive line.
I brought up Joey Gatewood. Big, big development yesterday afternoon that completely took me off guard, Adam Luckett. Like, I had seen the statements from Big Ten Commissioner's Office and the ACC Office.
Yeah, ACC came out this week.
And said, you know, we're in support of a rule that will be, you know, one-time kind of training deal.
Jim Harbaugh even came out. He was the first one, I think, that said that, thought that they could do it. But pretty much it's at one time, no matter the year, college kid can pick up and say, I'm transferring, can go from school A to school B and play immediately at school B without having any restrictions on him.
Well, when they said that, I was like, okay, well, they're for it, but, I mean, it's going to take 10 years for the NCAA to do anything. I mean, maybe 24 hours after the ACC statement, they have their own press release saying, we're for it, and it could happen this fall.
April is what they're shooting for, it's looking like.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's just crazy for them to be moving that fast, but I think there's a lot of, like, okay, like, we can't say that we're for the student-athlete when coaches jump around willy-nilly all the time. We can't let players do the same. Because I think the thing that gets overlooked the most out of all of the coaches moving around isn't the head coaches. It's your assistants. Because in football, you're working with your assistant coaches more than you're working with Mark Stoops. It's just like your day-to-day, you're close with that guy. And if that guy leaves, he's probably the guy that recruited you. Like how your overall college experience, that can dramatically change.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stories I won't say who it was, but one of the guys that played for Nuclear, Rick Minner, and he was talking about the changes to defensive end and linebacker and all this kind of stuff. Like, they almost quit football. Glad he stuck it out because had a pretty good year for Mark Stoops, a year or two maybe. I forget how many. But it was one of those, like, when you got all these moving pieces and coaches are against each other and they're separating, it can dramatically, like, it can make you hate football or it can make you hate your sport, from women's college basketball to gymnastics to God knows what. So I think for the player's sake, it's a good thing. Now, we had Vince Mero on my radio show this morning. We got the tail end of the Vince Mero radio interview cycle.
Yeah.
But it worked out because we got to
talk. Y'all got in the door. That's all that counts.
Hey, and you know what? We got in the door and got to ask him this question, which I think is, it was good because we got to hear unfiltered Vince at first before, you know, he prefaced it with, first things first, I'm going to be for the players. He did the cow thing, like, for players' rights. It's like, but this free agency thing, he used the free agency term, and that's what all of the old heads love to call it, is free agency, because they don't want other schools sliding into DMs or hitting people up when a player X, really highly talented guy, goes to one school, he doesn't play right away and he's unhappy. They don't want another team sliding in and be like, hey, see, look, we could use this wide receiver right now. And for them to just lose that guy right away. That's what they're fearful of. Now, Vince also went on to say, like, you know, this isn't going to be a type of deal where Alabama and Georgia are just going to come in and raid our roster. You know, we've got guys who are willing to play in bowl games instead of go make $1 million in the combine. Like, so I think there's a little bit of...
There's going to be overreaction to it.
Yes.
Obvious overreaction. Bottom line, I think the NCAA is doing this. Yes, they're worried about the coaches staying, and they're getting hammered for that in the media. But I think it's just another distraction from paying the players. It's another thing for the players. Give them more liberty to do something.
Ooh, I like
give them more
idea.
Flexibility. And for them, I think they're hoping it buys them some breathing room, really, for people being down their neck about paying the players. And second of all, we have this already with the transfer portal. The transfer portal, in my opinion, has been good for the sport. Number one, it's because we have quarterbacks that we would never seen in the other era.
Joe Burrow.
We see them come and play for good and for bad.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for the sport, and I think it's good for these players to be able to transfer and not have to sit out. At this point, that's kind of an archaic rule.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have that? And you see in basketball right now, how much did everybody freak out about Kerry Blackshear Jr.?
Lost their minds.
And he's having a good year, but he's just...
Yeah, he's fine.
He's probably going to be second team All-SEC.
Yeah.
So, in basketball, there's 8 to 10 grad transfers that really make a difference. In football, we've seen Justin Fields and Joe Burrow come in and make a huge, huge splash. But
Taythan Martell.
But are we sure... Yeah, are we sure... That's what I'm getting at. Are we sure that's... Is that going to happen every year? Or is it going to... Like, this year, when you look at the crop, I don't see... That coming, per se.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting, Georgia's kind of getting a lifeline with a kid from Wake Forest, but, it, I mean, that kid don't scare me a bit.
So, for me, I think it's a little overreaction by everybody. I think more times than not, I think the kids are going to be smart enough to stay. If they do leave, they need to know that if they enter that portal or whatever, they could, you know, what happens if no one's there for them? What's the rule going to be? Can they go back? So, there's going to be some, I think, some risk involved.
Oh.
On that player side, too.
This is something that I think I've alluded to on here, but, you know, Stanley Gardner entered the portal. I just found out he's at Hampton now with DeAndre Francis.
Is that where he landed?
Yeah, that's where he ended up landing. So, Trey Wilkins, he's out there trying to sell himself on Twitter. Recruitment open. But, like, how many people want to recruit somebody from the transfer portal versus just a high school football recruit? Like, it's a completely different
right.
kind of game. And then you also got to look at, some of the, I mean, Kenjera Daniels, Hagan King, they never played football again.
Mm-hmm.
So
now that could have been both. They could have just been like,
all right, screw it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like anymore.
Graduated.
But I think that for Kentucky, how they've been able to climb up as of late, I think it's to a point where you can get some of those guys that you can get your boss man Fats, the guy that, highly ranked kid who...
It's another way to build your roster, and it's going to be a void there for coaches to take advantage of. Some are going to do it better than others of constructing the roster, especially at places like a Kentucky or a Mississippi State or a Washington State,
mm-hmm.
teams that are never going to be in their conference top-notch recruiters, they have to be creative in how they attract talent to their program.
Exactly. And so I think, in general, Kentucky will benefit from it. Now, I will say, when Lynn Bowden was doing his sub-tweeting and all that stuff, and I don't know if it was after his freshman year, but, you know, they had to have those meetings with Stoops and Merrill, and they convinced him, listen, staying here is in your best interest. We're looking out for you. We know what's best for you. Just be patient. Things are going to work out. They did. Will there be a time when this rule is too alluring for some?
Here's who it's going to hurt. Like, Mark Stoops' first year, where it's the studs have been stripped bare. There's not many players on there. Bud Dupree's on there. They go 2-10.
Yeah.
Like, if he wanted to go to somewhere where he could have played. Rutgers, if they have a guy in Chiano's first year who's catches 67 balls for 900 yards,
yeah,
has 1 year left, and is like, let me go try my luck somewhere else.
You know,
or some lower-level G5s who maybe have good players or coaching changes happen.
Or
that's who it's going to hurt.
Or you're a guy by the name of Scott Turd, and you think you're a good coach, but you really stink because you're in Nebraska.
Oh.
But think about, like, Wandale Robinson. If he goes, or Rondale Moore. So let's both of those situations. If Jeff would have, so let's say Jeff Brohm goes from Purdue to Louisville, actually made that move, and this transfer was applicable, he could have just taken everybody with him. It would have stripped Purdue bare. But you aren't screwing over the players. You're getting able to keep your guys. And everybody's happy. And well, let's say on the flip side, next year, Nebraska still stinks. Okay? And Wandale's like, I came here to be the do-it-all guy. I am the do-it-all guy, but we suck. We're still only winning 5 games a year. Maybe this Scott Frost thing isn't working out. He can go somewhere else, and it doesn't knock him off of that NFL trajectory.
I mean, here's the thing. These coaches are getting paid $4 or $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating more problems for the coaches, NCAA is. But they don't want to hear the coaches complain about it because you're getting paid $5 million. You know?
Yeah.
You fix exactly. The problem.
Yeah. You can figure it out. Even if it means that you're having to take a $10 million buyout.
Uh-huh.
Which, oh, no, you're going to make $10 million to do nothing. So,
I think, like, it's happening now. So, like,
some are getting waivers.
I don't think it's going to be that much more of a difference. Yeah, they're just all not going to get. They're all going to get waivers now.
I bet some of it too is the NCAA being like, I'm tired of dealing with this waiver shit.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I
mean? Like, trying to.
Well, there's no
consistency at all.
Yes, there's no consistency. There's no right or wrong. It's just it's like a will of destiny almost.
Yeah, yeah. So all in all, things going to happen.
For Kentucky's side, it could mean like they're going to have a quality. Sorry, I mean Sawyer Smith, but they're going to have a quality. You know, backup quarterback situation with Gaywood and Smith together.
Man.
Backing up a guy who's coming off a major injury.
Yeah, which would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of huge, in Kentucky's quarterback, his girlfriend's going to have a huge belly here for too long.
Yeah. Bringing dad strength to Kroger Field.
Oh, man, so much dad strength. I freaking love it. First it was Josh Allen, then it was Lynn Bowden. Now it's Terry Wilson. Announced that he's expecting August 30th, a week before kickoff. I don't know how he's going to be able to sleep through it all.
He gets to be in training camp while his wife's in that third trimester. Oh, God. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse.
Oh, man, I don't know either. But she came with him to UK.
Yeah.
She was on his official visit with him.
Right. So I think they're like high school boyfriend, girlfriend or something.
That's sweet.
I think.
They've been together forever, but it's pretty sweet. Bringing the dad strength to Kroger Field, and I love to Vince was like, he's like, yeah, Terry told me he's having a kid. It's like, you having a kid or is your girlfriend having a kid? It's just like, God, that is such a dad joke. And you know what? I'll be picking those up soon. I'll be able to tell them to Terry, but I'm just – I'm excited. Happy for him. Happy we got some dad strength.
You and Terry can trade war stories at – a media player events this season.
I used to relate to players because we shared class together. Now it's we're dads together. That's how we can relate to one
another. And the world turns.
Okay, two other big stories. Mike Stoops, we got a football scoop report that Kentucky is close to hiring Mike Stoops.
What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a football scoop. Putting out stuff that's already been out.
Yeah.
He said it was waiting to for university board approval because of the university's nepotism clause or something like that.
Which is probably true, which might be true.
Yeah, and but after talking to some folks, it's the same thing that we've had out there for a month or two, from my understanding. They're kind of like, hey, Mike Stoops could be the guy, but, you know.
Well, they're obviously taking their time for some reason. I guess we might figure that out later.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, is like, it's kind of, Mark is in a good spot because he can kind of keep his options open and always fall back on adding a guy who is a head coach at a Power 5 for 6 years.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really, he's in a good spot. It's just a matter of timing, and I'm not really sure what that reason is. So, who knows? We might get Mike Stoops. I mean, spring practice start March 3rd. You probably want that to happen. That's in 2 weeks.
I will say, on Tuesday, Charlie Strong was officially added as an analyst at Alabama. That could be to replace Mike Stoops.
Yeah.
Who was that last year?
Mike Stoops liked to tweet him out another day, so...
We're on to something.
Yeah. On to something.
So, good watchdog journalism we're doing over here.
Just checking the social media. But, you know, we've talked about it before. I think it's not a bad move. And, like, I don't know what you can get wrong out of it other than just there would be blowback for some fans. Or, you see those defenses at Oklahoma. And it's like, well, did you see them the first time around, too, when they – or win a national championship. So,
like I said, he's just going to be coaching, position coach. And it's his brother's defense. And when he had his brother's defense as a head coach was when he had his most success. So,
exactly.
Hopefully that stays in that same kind of lane.
Yeah, that would certainly be nice. But the biggest story that happened during our break was the story that consumed everything, and that's Vince Marrow and Michigan State. Bum, bum.
Yep. This time last week, we didn't know what was going on. We were getting all kinds of reports. Merrill went quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We had Michigan State come back with a counter offer.
I mean, it was pretty wild.
Which has been leaked out. It was right around $1.2 million.
So, when the Mel Tucker thing first happened, we were talking, just texting. And it was like, well, Ohio's about to crank up. And, man, it happened fast.
It did.
Like lightning speed.
Like a little too fast.
Yeah, a little too fast. So let's just put fun with numbers, shall we, Luckett?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I say zero, what do you think?
Broke.
I meant like with this job. I'm trying to tie numbers to this whole story.
Okay.
So, or we'll start simple.
We'll start over. All right. Rewind.
When I say four, what do you say?
More.
Years.
4 years.
From okay. You see where I'm going here?
Okay.
4 years is reportedly what Michigan State offered Vince Marrow. And have you ever heard of an assistant coach getting a 4-year contract?
No, 3 years is usually the max.
Aranda, did he even have?
I don't think so. I mean, I think every state's kind of different. I know some states will only let you offer like 2 to 3 years. But I'm not sure. Yeah, 4 years is a lot. Like that's
unheard of.
Now, they are tied in. They're so indebted or invested
uh-huh.
into Tucker that maybe they're giving him a little more.
But 4 years, that was like okay. Weird, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What about 1.2?
1.2 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot for a guy that's not calling plays.
It's a lot. Because...
I mean, that would be... record-breaking, and if that would have happened, that would have been a huge story.
Sports
bigger football. Than college football story. Like I think some national people would have picked up to that this guy, who's not a head coach, who's not, you know, a offense coordinator, defense coordinator.
He's making $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But that's, that would have been huge.
Yeah.
So, kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back to the number zero. Is zero a number? Is it like an absence of a number? I'm not a philosophizer.
Sure. Zero is nothing. I think it's a number that represents Nothing.
So it's the absence of matter, the absence of
something.
Of. So zero. What do you think when I say zero in this search?
There were zero people from Michigan reporting on it, at least to my knowledge.
Oh, yes, that is correct. Absolutely not. Now, they had stories, but they were all like, according to Matt Jones at Kentucky Sports Radio, blah, blah, blah. So that was weird. Very weird. Especially, we're not used to this, Luckett. I mean, you follow everything a little bit more in depth, especially when it comes to SEC and stuff. But in the
time out. We went through this
with Eddie
with Matt House.
Okay.
Where the Chiefs wanted him, Kentucky wanted him, and there was this back and forth. There was a Chiefs reporter breaking stuff, and then there was Kentucky reporter breaking stuff.
Yeah.
It happens for both sides, but for whatever reason, in this one, it was all coming from
Eddie Graham was Kentucky the other people. One where you had stuff from Dog Nation who was like,
yeah.
They met with him. Now we're gonna say it wasn't to be offensive coordinator. But there, you know, there's...
What? That's just an SEC move.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. But we at least had gotten a little taste of like, okay, there's stuff you can expect from the other side. We didn't get any of it from Michigan State. And then finally, did you look at the details in the contract that was released Monday?
I skimmed over them.
Did you see when it was signed?
Yes, on Wednesday, was it?
I think it was Thursday.
Yeah.
So we were waiting around until Valentine's Day night at like 6 p.m. and it had been signed the day before.
Got to build up the hype. I did notice that, yes.
So, I hope everybody learned some lessons in this and what to kind of keep your eyes out for and what to be confident. Because I think for the most, I mean, I don't know too many people that were legitimately concerned, but I think part of why you build that up is to send a message to people like that I spoke to yesterday and Jagger Burton and like, hey, being home is important. Turning down money to be at home, that means something. I think there's a reason behind all of this. And I think it's to send a certain message. And, you know, the timing of having the Big Ten killer story out there, like, that sends a message to all of Ohio to have that story out there. And then to do it to your fans, too, the message you're sending on the day that season ticket sales are open for the general public. I'm here to stay. And you know what? It worked for TJ's brother. Johnny Walker goes out and buys season tickets that afternoon.
There you go. I'm sure he wasn't the only one.
So it was a little bit – I think we did maybe do a little bit more dancing than most expected or have experienced anything like this. But I think there was at least a method to all the madness.
I think there was certainly he felt he was underpaid and he wanted to get it paid kind of thing. And he brought up Youngstown State and then Michigan State. I don't think that was just, you know, spur of the moment kind of, oh, I think he wanted to get paid and he saw, you know, in business, there's only going to be certain times where you actually do have leverage.
Yeah.
And I think he realized that that with this, he had leverage and he wanted to use it.
Especially playing the friend card.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Mark was my buddy and I was working
for
Merrill
is friends with everybody. So, like, he can use that card for 10 trillion people.
Oh, that's funny. I did. I forgot who it was. You know, he's done so many interviews, but when he said, like, you know, I left my buddy Bo to go coach with Mark, I was like, it's true. You can sell that, but also, like, you
were on GA. He went on a staff.
For Bellini, you know, a little bit different. But that was, it was a little crazy. But at the end of the day, he gets his raise. He's now, and now at this point, everybody's gotten a raise on the staff this year except for Sharman and Michael Smith, who, if I recall, either Sharman's in the last year of his three-year deal. I think he's in the last year of his three-year deal in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael Smith got a raise last year to go through 21.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, everybody else got
raises. And Amar
Stewart,
of course, on a
brand new.
New deal.
Big raise for him from App State.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he was making there. Like 50?
No, probably a little more than that.
I will say, did you see Mark Richt's picture?
Hot Dog Delight? Have you watched the video of?
I have not seen a
picture
of him. You
need to watch the video to understand what's on there.
So, all right, here's my Mark Richt. Do y'all remember him? He was a good coach at Georgia, went to Miami, grew a goatee, became a bad boy, got out of coaching, had a heart attack 6 months ago, and now he's bragging about his birthday dinner, Hot Dog Delight, which is, from what I could tell, it looked like two hot dog buns with hot dogs in them, covered in baked beans and
melted cheese.
Oh, milk too?
Melted cheese,
yes. And then there was ketchup as well.
What he says is you take two pieces of bread, you put them, you know, just in the toaster. You toast both sides.
Oh, okay.
You put them down. You put your hot dog. You cook your hot dog, whatever. You put two hot dogs on each piece of bread. You cover both the hot dog and the bread with cheese. You put them, I guess, in the broiler or whatever. You melt them. Okay. You melt your cheese. Then you take... Now, you take your baked beans.
Uh-huh.
He says, I use Van Camp's, but it could be whatever beans you want. He says, now you hammer them with baked beans. So you cover them all with baked beans. And then he says, you take the ketchup and you hammer it with ketchup. And there you go. Hot Dog Delight.
Oh, and this is from a man who just had a heart attack. And then went to work for the ACC Network the next day. You might say, well, why would he do that? Well... Really, if nothing else, Hot Dog Delight is the perfect explanation for, it is the perfect personification of college football coaching. Because, A, they're stressed out of their minds, they just want good comfort food. It's a taxing job, but also it's a job that's the kind of food that people eat when they're making zero money being GAs, grinding it out at 24 years old.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff, John Gruden used to be, he would eat cornflakes and tuna. That was his, meal of choice. Because he's broke as hell, and is high in protein. Same thing in this Hot Dog Delight case. So now, they grow up and they make a bunch of money, but they can't shed that, I'm going to work my ass off, stress my, I'm making $1 million, but you know what, Hot Dog Delight, nothing hits the spot better than that.
It is definitely a concoction. I don't know how I came up with it, but...
I don't really have anything like that, other than I did learn recently, the benefits of adding hot sauce to ramen noodles. I don't even do the little... Because my wife, she likes the beef ramen. Beef can get the hell out of here. Chicken ramen's where it's at.
Have you all had the...
I'll put hot sauce on it and just leave it plain.
They have, a jalapeno-flavored ramen.
Fake jalapeno.
It's not jalapeno. It's a...
Is it sriracha?
No, it's like a chili flavoring, I guess.
Huh.
It's pretty good.
I could get with chili. I like the buying diced jalapenos now, in the jar.
Yes.
And sprinkling that a little on my salad or,
just add some flavor.
Yeah, just it up a little bit. Apparently, you've hit the 30 threshold, right?
Yes.
Is the indigestion, the heartburns, that can you still eat jalapenos?
I can, but I do get it more than I used to. It sucks.
I started getting sympathy heartburn. My wife gets it, so taking Tums lately. Gonna have to bring some to Indy.
Yeah.
So what do you actually? I might. We'll probably save that for some combine content. Because
are we gonna go to St. Elmo's?
You bet your sweet ass we're going to St.
Have you been there before?
I first time I went was last combine. I was
when in Rome.
Yeah, exactly. You got to. And I remember it well because it was a snow game in the AAF, and they were playing in Salt Lake City.
Oh, I remember that.
And that was when McGinnis said he ran into Lamar Thomas out there coaching for the other team.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right. I forgot.
He was jawing.
Yeah.
But, so what parts are you looking forward to now? This will be your entry survey, and then we'll have an exit survey when we take the podcast up there next week.
I just want to see how the media handles being locked up in a room. And not being able to, because they really only have the interviews, right?
Yes.
And you see it, people freak out on Twitter that they can't see anything.
Yes, and...
Just to see how it's set up. I want to see how it's set up.
It's because it's a big-ass convention center. And you move around a lot, and they've got TVs of the action going on pretty much everywhere. And there's some strange-looking characters there.
Oh, I guarantee it. Because you get the blend of, NFL guys, and then some college people.
Yeah.
And then local... But then also, your NFL draft Knicks.
Oh, those are the most interesting. And What I found most amazing is that last year, how people cover the NFL draft. Like, there was one kid at the draft who couldn't have been 24, 25 years old, who was doing, like, he had a little Comrex set up in the media room and was doing play-by-play of the NFL draft. Like, just his own broadcast of it on radio. I don't know where it was. Wow. And it's like, wait, you went all the way here just to talk about what you're watching on ESPN? Because he was just in the media room. He wasn't even at the thing. Just like there were people last year in one of the kind of lobby areas where they have like a computer set up. And like it was just a laptop.
Is this at the draft or the combine?
This is at the combine. They had a laptop set up and they were FaceTiming and recording while on the laptop. They also had all of the action happening so they could look at it and talk about it just amongst each other. And you know what?
The internet's a crazy place, man.
I guess people were watching, yeah. You know? And it's wild. And that goes to say that you all should follow us because we will not be boring. We will not be bad. I think we're going to get a hold of the KSR Instagram account, which if you aren't following yet, we've been juicing it up lately. Maggie Davis, Tyler Thompson, a lot of different content coming at you.
Hopefully we aren't stripped from our privileges after one weekend.
Yeah, that would be bad.
A couple days.
That would be bad. Have you been to St. Elmo's before?
I have not.
Okay, so we're going to try the cocktail sauce, get some live reaction. Oh, it lit my ass up one time, too.
Did it?
You get too much, man. It just...
I've heard good things, man.
I mean, it's good things. But it's not your traditional hot. It's horseradish hot.
Yeah, okay.
And that just it gets all up in that nasal cavity and whew! Whew!
give you the shivers?
Need some of those cold, tall domestics to wash it down.
Well, a few of those.
We touched on like a dozen things. I feel like we're missing something.
Just now that Kentucky has Marrow... this recruiting battle with Michigan State, like what's going to happen? Like Kentucky's won the first battle, but both these guys, Mel Tucker and Mark Stoops, both have Nick Saban recruiting philosophies where their whole program, everything centers around recruiting. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be out. You're going to see what we've seen Kentucky do is really get early and offer a bunch of kids where like 80% of them aren't end up going to be it takes, but they try to get in front of everybody. And I think you're going to kind of see that same process from Mel Tucker. He said in a Q&A after his press conference that it's important. They have to get into Detroit. They have to own that area. Mm-hmm. And he has connections in Ohio, and they're going to recruit Ohio really, really hard.
Yeah.
So Michigan State has gotten players from Ohio here recently, but Kentucky has beat them out for higher-ranked prospects when you look at the blue chips and some more high three stars. So, I mean, they're going to be coming at Kentucky a little bit, and – does he go after, you know, they've gone after Vince Merrill. Does he make a move for Steve Clinkscale? Because that would seem to make sense for what he wants to do.
Yeah, and, I mean, Clink's going on a UK rate. Like, he's going on the UK Sports Network show tonight to talk. So,
yeah, you wouldn't think so.
Right, and it also was, it felt like if the Merrill thing was going to happen, they were going to go after Clink, too. Like, they were hoping to make it, like, a package deal of sorts.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see. I like how Mel Tucker, too. We're not going to keep anybody from staff. And then Roz, this Trestle kid's pretty good. We'll keep him.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That was a weird, like, we're not going to keep anybody.
I leaked his name out that night when I saw that was happening because I was like, this could kind of make sense for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then later in the night, they like at 11 p.m. on Saturday, they announced they're coming back.
It's still weird. We've only heard Mike's. We haven't heard any other names for that 10th coach.
I know.
It's weird.
And then just Kentucky has really, last 3 years, has had the upper hand there.
Oh, yeah. Well, so
this
like, class,
how does that change with Tucker?
Ricky Hyatt was one in particular.
That's a guy in this class for sure.
That Michigan State would have been on, like, I mean, they were on him, like, white on rice. And maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they get him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, so that's one. I don't know how hot and heavy they were in on Bowden. I know Penn State was up there with him, too.
I think there was a lot with Lynn of people were, when they mentioned it in the Athletic story, they were worried he kind of had like a shady background.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it came down to like Kentucky and Indiana.
And ooh. Before I forget, how many bench press reps does Lynn get?
He looks wiry.
He's got long arms.
Yeah.
Did you see
what is it? 185 or 225? It's 225, isn't it? Bench press.
Yeah, 225.
Like the weakest guys will get like what, 3 or 4?
Yeah, they're DBs. Wide receivers typically get more.
I'd say 9, 10, 11. I would say 10.
See, so the reason why I ask is because Lynn is raising money for charity with his bench press. Which is, I think it's really cool. I'm surprised we don't see more of this at the Combine, because it's like, hey, if you just pledge $1 a rep, you know, you're given 10, 12, whatever, however much money to charity. And this one's going to a charity that's all about promoting fatherhood and building families and communities, which I think is a great idea. And if you want to get in on that, it's in his Twitter bio. We wrote about it on KSR. I'll be tweeting about it before the draft, too, just to make sure. He just wanted to raise $2,500, and that's not much to give to charity. I feel like that's not a crazy goal, but I'm just excited to. I hope he gets 12. He projected himself at 12. I'd like to see that.
That's a good number. Good, yeah. Solid number for a slot receiver.
Yeah, and those one dudes from PFF think that he'd be more of a running back.
I saw that. I thought that was interesting, kind of along the lines of the guy that played at Memphis and was at the Cowboys this year. It's Tony Pollard.
Yeah, yeah. And there's another guy.
He's a gadget player, like I've talked about, where you're going to have to move him around and use him in a bunch of different spots.
I'm trying to think of... Because it was like that with the 49. Was it Breda who was more of their, like, let's get him out in space kind of guy? I get all these dudes. But, I mean, the most recent one for me, really, because I would pay closer attention to them a little bit more, because Randall Cobb was there, and because Mile Wild Mouth.
Yeah, the Packers did that with Cobb.
Well, Ty Montgomery.
Too.
He was wearing, what, number 88, playing running back?
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes sense. He runs between the tackles.
Well, that running back position in the NFL, man.
Yeah,
it's becoming such a anybody can play it.
How crazy was the stat after the Super Bowl? It showed the salaries of the last 10 leading rushers in the Super Bowl. Did you see this, Adam?
I didn't see it. I could imagine it's probably not good.
Oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Damian Williams was like the third or fourth on the list. I think he was third on the list at $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, paying a running back is almost like a death wish now, and if you're an NFL franchise.
The number one person on there was Percy Harvin, who was a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, well, I mean, this you is not think
the Patriots won a lot of those Super Bowls, and they just throw any whoever up in there. Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, Burkhead was the one that came to mind. Man, your poor Bengals too. Like it. Is Joe Burrow going to leave him?
I think that's all kind of a.
You think it's February NFL storylines
stretching it out?
Yeah. Man, Teddy, I'm just going through all these things that are popping up.
We will see Burrow. We'll see Burrow down there though.
Yeah, he's going to be way cooler than freaking Kyler Murray last year. That guy. Shove that old dweeb in a locker. Go play baseball, buddy. Joe Burrow, though, he's a badass. You know who else is a loser? Scott Frost.
I know. You just can't stand Scott Frost.
Nebraska, man. They're back again. Just look at ESPN's FBI. They're back.
I did see that.
Yeah.
You know what my biggest takeaway from this S&P Plus was, though? I know we can get into, like, who we think is overhyped, obviously. But Kentucky's going to play 4 of the top 7 projected defenses next year in 2020. Georgia's number one. Let's see here. Georgia's number one. Let me find it. Pull up the old internets.
I know they had at least 4 of the top 11.
Florida's number 6. Auburn's number 3.
Jesus.
And Tennessee checks in at 7.
That's 4 of the top 7. That's crazy. I think it was 4 of the top 11 overall, correct? Georgia, Florida, or 4 of the top 17 maybe? Because I know Auburn was 11th overall.
Yeah, I mean, if you can count Tennessee, they're 19th in S&P, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 4 of the top 19 on their schedule.
Yeah, that's tough. I think my big takeaway was the computers are finally given – some respect to Kentucky because
well, what they have on these projections is they have like a weighted 5-year average.
Yes, and that
so Kentucky, when you look at their 5 years, it's starting to kick
that
in.
and the recruiting. They take the last two classes. So, like, it goes back to the
whole... Returning production, weighted five-year average, recruiting, and there's another thing they throw in the pot. I can't remember.
But that just shows you that's the whole kind of mantra they had last year. This isn't just a one-year team, flash in the pan. This is a program. And I think the computer rankings certainly reflect that. But the ESPN FPI graphic, because at least Bill Connelly is breaking it down a little bit for us.
Yeah, that's why, like, you get to see some offensive and defensive projections.
FPI just gave us graphics. Biggest jumps, and of course, Tennessee was like 17th. All these teams that finish outside of the top 25.
Tennessee came in at 19th in FPI. The one big one, both of them, North Carolina. I mean, they're high in North Carolina. I was surprised. Now, I know Sam Howell's coming back, and I guess they're just returning everybody, I would assume. But that just seemed a little high.
Yeah, because it's North Carolina football.
And then I look at their schedule, I'm like, I don't know about this. Which is, they're not taking into account the schedule, obviously.
Right, right, right. They're just like, hey, this is how good this team should be moving forward.
Right. But Louisville, if you're having them in your preseason top 25s, what the computer's saying is saying to me, you shouldn't have them in your preseason top 25.
No, not at all.
I know we've seen some of that to this point.
I know in FPI they were two spots behind. It was the pecking order was Kentucky, South Carolina, Louisville,
33, Indiana. 34, 35.
Yeah.
Well, Purdue, 36.
Or Purdue, excuse me. Yeah, but I think that's about how things generally are.
Yeah, for the most part,
to this point. So. You know, fall for the Mikael Cunningham, Javion Hawkins, Tutu Atwell. Just fall for it as much as you can, hook on sinker. Know the ACC's bad, but, you know.
And another interesting number, your guy Drinkwitz, his offense is projected 108th.
Yeah, they had a bad rating.
And Vanderbilt is way down. Oh, my goodness.
They're in the same company as Kent State and Eastern Michigan.
Just a little bit above them.
And Eastern Michigan's going to be one of the worst teams in college football next year.
Yeah, they should be pretty bad.
I mean, even Freddie. Freddie's one of those guys. He will find ways to say nice things about teams. The first time he looked at
Kent
team
State,
this year.
Kent State's going to be plucky, though.
But Eastern Michigan lost everything.
They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, nothing.
They lost a lot of their receivers. Their defense was awful last year.
They're going to be even worse next year. And it's just, man, that game. Terry might not have much sleep because that baby, but he's on over under 7 touchdowns. And I might take the over.
Just stay healthy.
Seriously. Back with a vengeance. Man, this espresso is starting to wear off like it.
You're about to hit the wall.
Oh, man. I'm going to hit it hard. It's dangerous. We're getting dangerous.
Arkansas is way down here, too, man. I'm just kind of scrolling through. 76.
Oh, Sam Pittman.
It's going to be a rough first year, more than likely. WKU, 57.
Who?
One spot ahead of Georgia Tech and 2 spots ahead of Texas Tech.
They don't got another year of Ty Story, do they?
No, their offense is still looking like it's supposed to be bad, but I love that defense coordinator, Clayton White, they have. I'm not sure how he's still there.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But yeah, Nebraska, man. We'll see. That's Freddie saying. I think I'm going to steal that for that one.
Oh, what? We'll see?
Yeah, I think that's his new thing.
Oh. We'll see.
We'll see.
Well, we will see you next week from the NFL Combine. It's going to be fun, so just keep everything locked in. Last year, I was in that company of kind of curmudgeonly, like, oh, this is all we get. But now that there's going to be a couple of us, we're just going to have a good old time. We're going to, you know.
Rub shoulders with some people.
Hopefully we hang out and get to see Peter King. Ooh, okay. Of all the big J's in the NFL, which big J do you want
to I want to see Schefter and his 18 phones working.
See, we might this year because the thing was, it used to be exclusively NFL Network. Now ESPN's got some rights.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get more Schefty. Last year,
I'll get Schefter instead of Rappaport?
Yeah, and last year, I was seeing that Rappaport with the 2 phones.
Yeah.
Little guy.
Is he?
Little Italian guy. I bet Schefter's a little too.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Michigan man.
I remember I was like at the gym and they had NFL Live on, and they were like, Adam Schefter, he's going to see how many times he can do bench press. And, you know, he rolls his sleeves up, and he gets up there. He does 2 or 3 pretty easily. I'm like, damn, I saw those aren't just popcorn muscles. And then somebody, like, picks it up from behind him with one hand and starts curling. I'm like, you sons of bitches, you got me.
I wonder, like, I guess they'll have, you know, Mike and Mike down there in the morning. Do they have a radio row?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's right by. We'll
probably see some people down there.
Ooh, we'll get to take our picture with the Lombardi trophy.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, not actually, like, hold it up or anything.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in a case.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, they might take it out for us, you know. We got 11 personnel podcasts. What if we?
Maybe they'll let us take it out for a night on the town.
What if the other 11 personnel podcast is there?
Dun, dun, dun.
The Rams version. It might be a Ron Burgundy podcast fight.
we'll come out swinging headsets.
Pull off the tip of the microphone, and it's just a knife in the cord right here. Just
do you watch Peaky Blinders?
Oh, Peaky Blinders.
The hat?
No.
When they take off their hats, they have like a blade. So whenever they get in a fight, they just throw it and start swiping at people. It's pretty cool.
Oh, man. Well, it's going to be fun next week. Hopefully, we don't have another week of being on pins and needles, waiting for...
Yeah, hopefully all this coach at Scuttlebutt's over.
Yeah, it was kind of fun for a little bit. A little bit of anxiety with it.
They had me a little like, I don't know, this isn't sounding too great.
Hey, it all worked out.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have it yet, go get your season tickets. Those subs are renewed.
Mm-hmm. Big year coming. And another thing before we go. They are selling the crap out of Atlanta.
Oh, you've already looked?
I'm just saying. Like,
oh, I thought
Mero,
you meant like hotels.
No. Mero is telling anybody that wants to know. I think anything they say, like, marketing-wise, it's all kind of like...
Atlanta.
Like, subliminally pointing to that. I think when we get to hear them talk, some of the players talk, that they're going to be outwardly probably talking about that. I just think that's interesting. That they're really, like, they're being so upfront with it.
Well, Dad's strength on your side, you can't lose.
Hopefully you're right, man.
Kentucky's got it. It's going to be incredible. Can't wait. But unfortunately, we have to a little bit longer. Until then, we'll be up in Indy at the NFL Combine. Bussing heads, bench pressing, running sprints. Actually, none of the above. But we're
pretending
gonna
like we're important.
We're going to have our phones out, and we're going to look important, damn it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you all will join us next week on 11 Personnel. Go Cats. Go Kroger.